Good to see you guys. Missed being here last week. Valerie and I had a little trip planned, and we ended up not being able to do that because I got sick, but got a couple of days of rest, and that's not a bad thing. So good to be back here in Grace Walk. If you have your Bible this morning, turn over to initially two places, John 12 and Matthew 21. John 12 and Matthew 21. Before we read those passages, and this morning we will be reading actually all four gospel accounts of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the start of what is often called Palm Sunday week. That day that starts on Monday. Palm Sunday is actually on Monday and it goes to Friday. In this case, Friday being the particular day our Lord was crucified. So we're down now to the end of our Lord's life. And if you will remember, just in the time events of the story, 3, maybe 4 weeks, as best as historians can tell, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, Jesus had two other resurrections in the New Testament, but they were done immediately after death. And in Lazarus' case, he had been dead 4 days. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, there was such great excitement among the people because that was done that it created a huge following. Now, Jesus has always had a following every time he did a miracle, right? There were always huge numbers of people that followed Jesus simply because they wanted to see another miracle. It would be similar to if a miracle happened in Slayton. If we were told that it happened, we would want to go see it happen. And so in all those cases in the Gospels, you find Jesus being followed, but basically for the wrong reasons. They were sightseers. They wanted to see this happen. And many times, the Bible says they would believe on him, but Jesus knew what was in their hearts. And they didn't have a heart that was humble and a heart that wanted to repent before God. They just wanted to be a part of the show. And so Jesus didn't mess with them very much at all. And so Jesus heals Lazarus there in Bethany, and then he resumes. Boy, there's a great word for what I'm trying to tell you, and I just can't think of what it is. He retreats. I just tell you, it's been a long week, so it's untelling what you're going to hear me say this morning. Jesus retreats with his disciples, and he visits with them, and they're learning. And at some point in the next couple of weeks, he goes back to Bethany. The Bible says there in verse number 1 of John 12 that it was 6 days before the Passover, and that would put that day to be about a Saturday, okay? And so Jesus goes back to Bethany, and I won't spend much time on it, but I love the story of how he goes into the house of Simon the leper. Simon was cured of his leprosy by Jesus Christ, and so there was Simon, and whoever was in Simon's family, there was Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, and Mary, Martha, and then the 12 disciples, at least that many. And it was a sweet day. The Bible says that there was a supper. And as you know, as we went through, Martha did the servings. That's how she loved, was with her service. Mary loved with her worship. And she washed the feet of Jesus with her hair. And she used that very expensive container of alabaster and break that thing and lavished our Lord with her worship and her praise. And then, as we know, as she did that, Judas said, "Well, why didn't you take that same thing and sell to the poor to benefit, sell so you can benefit the poor, give the money to the poor?" And so he brought himself into this situation, and we're going to see more of Judas as this book unfolds, obviously. But as far as historians can tell, he stayed all day Sunday. Now, you know, there are some things that you can take from looking at the setting of the story. We're not told that explicitly that Jesus stayed with the family, Lazarus and the sisters and Simon. We're not told explicitly that he stayed with them Saturday night into Sunday or from Sunday night into Monday. But he loved them very much. When Lazarus died, if you remember, our Lord grieved. And so he loved this family. And Where we are this morning is Monday morning. That's where we're going to pick up the story. He's been in Bethany. Before that, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And now we're going to see his entrance into the city of Jerusalem. John chapter 12, verse 12 says, "On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" Now, two things about this. One thing I didn't mention is what had happened. We can find this out from the other Gospels, which we're going to read in just a minute. But there were great amounts of people who wanted to see this man who had performed the raising of Lazarus. And so when they find out he's in Bethany, they hoard to this little town. Bethany's about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. And they, the Bible tells us that they come into Bethany so that they can see Jesus and also Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. This is an exciting time. And keep in mind, this is Passover week. This was a huge deal. This is where the families of Israel would go back to Jerusalem, and they would have to either take their sacrifice, the lamb, or that they would have to buy one. And so all the people in the region would do this. This would be a great amount of traveling, a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of business and commerce was done simply because they had to eat and they had to take care of themselves while this was going on. So there's already a lot of people in Jerusalem. How many? Well, we don't know, but there is one temple record that historians tell us about. One year, in an area, in a time around that area of time, there were 256,500 lambs slain. Now, when we read these stories, at least me, I can't speak for you, but all my life when I've read these stories, I think of these sleepy little towns, you know, 10, 20, 50 people or something. You know, you watch movies too. So in 1 year, Brother Stacy, in 1 year about this time, there were 256,500 lambs slain. That's a lot, that's a quarter of a million. But you also got to know that there would be one lamb per family. You doing the math? Well, we don't know how many that was, but if it's just 4 people per family, that would be 1 million people. Easily could be 2 million, 2.5 million. This was a huge deal. And then you've got Jesus doing this great miracle work of raising Lazarus from the dead, and the Bible says that hordes of people came to follow him and watch him and see Lazarus. So you got all these people. It's no small thing here. And Jesus, on Monday morning, he makes his entrance, his journey into that. He's walking into that mass of people. You know, Lubbock's got maybe 300,000 people. Can you imagine every person in Lubbock coming into one place to see Brother Chris? All these people, they were gathering together to do their sacrifice, and so many of them wanted to see Jesus. And so when the Bible says there in verse 12, don't rush over that word much. On the next day, much people, possibly millions of people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees. The palm tree has always been a symbol of victory, and it's always been a tree which grew in that era, in that area, in that era of time. And so this was a visible symbol of what they wanted to do for who they anticipated their king would be. Now let's talk about that word king for just a minute. I want to remind you that the nation of Israel, they were looking for a physical king who would help them overthrow Rome, who had conquered them, and reset their rule and their leadership in the area. That's what they were looking for. That's not what Jesus was coming to bring them. As we see here in the next 5 days, from Monday to Friday, Jesus was being a new kind of king. He was coming as a humble king. And so they took branches in verse 13 of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, I know I keep interrupting you in your reading, but let's think of this. 100 years earlier, there was a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus who the Israelites had great hope in as their next king, and they did the same thing, and it didn't happen. They were coming and they wanted to make him their king. It didn't happen. This is an entirely new generation of people, okay? And now they're excited that possibly, just maybe, they can take Jesus, who has all this power to do all these miracles and raising the dead and feeding people, and just maybe he is the Messiah. And it says in verse 14, "And Jesus, when he had found a young ass set thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." That means they saw it, they heard about it, they understood it. And it says in verse 18, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle." Now some of this is going to come more to light as we read the other three accounts of the gospel. Because, let's talk about this for just a minute. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they wrote accounts of this entrance into Jerusalem. They were eyewitnesses, okay? Now, you know what an eyewitness is. Something happens, and Linda and I see it because we're both, we were probably in sitting in different places, and we both don't have perfect eyes. Do you have perfect eyes? I don't have perfect eyes either. And we hear and or we don't hear. So eyewitnesses can include details that other eyewitnesses don't have in their accounts. You got that, right? Okay, so I just wanted to deal with that before we continued. "For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore," now these are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, these people that hate Jesus. They want to kill Lazarus just because of his resurrection. Why would you kill Lazarus? Jesus raised him from the dead. Yeah, but Jesus raised him from the dead, but he was such a witness for our Lord's power. He was such a testimony for what the Lord could do. So they wanted to murder him. These guys, these religious guys were wicked. "The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" Now they're getting desperate here. Okay? They're looking at this situation, this huge crowd of people following Jesus because he did this miracle. And the crowd, these Pharisees can see that the crowd is excited about our Lord and they want to make him the king. And the Pharisee says, "We're losing this battle here. Can't you see that all that we've been trying to do to prevent Jesus from becoming king, we're losing the battle here. Nothing's happening. The whole world's going after him." That was an exaggeration. As we know here, these same people who are following the Lord on Monday, on Friday, are going to put him to death. They're going to want Barabbas be released into their custody instead of Jesus. They were going to want to crucify Jesus. Sounds a little fickle, don't you think? And verse 20 says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip." Now Philip is a Greek name. And so we this is something else you can only conjecture at, but Philip was from an area that was heavily full of Greek people. And so it's possible that these Greek people knew, they eyeballed, maybe they knew him from business or something, maybe they grew up with him, who knows. But these Greek people saw Philip and they said, "We want to see Jesus." Now why was this a big deal? Well, it's a big deal because Jesus Christ first came to save the nation of Israel. And these Greeks are not a part of the nation of Israel. Okay? And they say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now, did they ever talk to him? Well, we don't know, but we know that Jesus wouldn't have turned them away. We know that Jesus would have talked to them. Now, turn over to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Little tip, little Sunday school tip for you. Next week, if you got a pencil, jot down these verses that we're reading, because next week we're going to need them again, okay? So we read from John 12, 12 through 22. And now we're going to read Matthew 21, 1 through 11. This is Mark's account of what just happened. Now, for the most part, it's exactly the same, just a few details that might be thrown in, a few words that are different. So verse 1 says in Matthew 21, "And when they drew nigh into Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage," now that's a little area just outside of, between Bethany and Jerusalem, "unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her, a mama donkey and a baby donkey. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. And all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." So he here, by doing this, is fulfilling several prophecies from the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets, Zechariah and Daniel, said that this was going to happen, and he made this happen. And it continues, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way." See, that's another detail. First of all, we've got the detail of the disciples taking their clothes and putting it upon the foal, the baby donkey, okay? And then more in the crowd are taking their garments, their clothing, and putting them onto the ground, along with the palm branches that we read about just a minute ago, so Jesus could walk as a king would walk into a city. Now, mind you, this is a point we're going to see next week, but ordinarily a king wouldn't be on a donkey, would he? He'd be on a big, majestic, grand white horse. That's what they did. But Jesus is telling a different story. He's not coming to be their kind of king. He's coming in as a humble man, the humble Son of God. And he's on not the mama donkey, but the baby donkey. He's on the baby donkey. And in verse 8 it says, "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." So, once again, let's go back to the numbers. Maybe 1 million people, maybe 2.5 million people, we don't know. A lot of people we do know. A lot of people. This is no small gathering. And among all these people, you've got the people traveling in to do their sacrifice at the temple. You've got all these people this huge crowd of people who saw and have heard about the raising of Lazarus, and they want to see more. You know, they want to see what's taking place. You've got that group of people, okay? And then hearing all these people, there are people who are saying, what's all this for? Who is this? What are we doing? And the multitude said in response, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth, of Galilee." Now turn in your Bible to Mark 11. Mark 11, and the last one will be Luke 19. Mark 11, Luke 19. Mark 11, verse 1 says, "And when they were came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." By the way, I love that answer. You know, how would you feel, Linda, if somebody took your car and when you quizzed them about it, they said, "Well, God needs this car." I mean, that's a tough one to swallow right there. It's evident that God's already talked to these men's heart who owned the colt. It's obvious that God has already dealt with them. Maybe they're followers of the Lord or believers themselves. Anyway, they said, "And if any man say to you, Why do you do this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met." That's a fork in the road. "And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye? Loosen the colt. And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12." So just another little glance from Mark, and now we're going to look at Luke's. Luke 19, verse 28. Luke 19, verse 28 says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up into Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him unto Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I will tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." So this is Palm Sunday. This is what's happening on Monday morning at some time. And on the outside, it would look like that these people are excited that they're going to make Jesus the physical king and he's going to come in and be their conqueror. Anything but that's going to happen. These same people, as I said, that are so excited about the Lord and who take their garments and throw them on the ground for the Lord to walk on, and they take these palm branches and put them on the ground, these same people will holler to put our Lord to death 4 days later. So they're excited that Jesus is coming, and all these details here are the culmination of 3.5 years of all of his miracles. Now imagine this. You've got 3.5 years. You're looking back on the last 3.5 years, and you've heard about this man who's fed 5,000 men, probably a total of 20,000 people with men, their wives and kids. And you've heard about all that happened with these 5 loaves and 2 fishes and all the people that have been healed. The blind's been made to walk, and the deaf have been made to speak, and leprosy has been taken. And you've heard about all this for the past 3 years, and then you open the paper one day and it says, this man's coming to Slayton. Wouldn't you be excited? Yeah, you're going to come and see this. That's what we've got here. This man that has been doing all these works, all these people in the area have been listening to him, and they're excited about what he's done, what they've heard about, and they want to see him. They're not believers, they just want to see what's happened here. And so you've got here in Jerusalem at this Passover, you've seen some movies, I'm sure, about the crucifixion. There have been quite a few made past 30 or 40, 50 years, you know, some real old movies. And they would have, the camera would pan out when Jesus was on the cross, and it looked like a crowd of maybe 200 or 300 people, you know, all these stand-in actors, you know. That's what we remember. It's nothing like that. This was a crowd. This was a big deal. Why was it such a big deal? Well, let's go back to John chapter 1. God the Father, from eternity, God the Father from eternity wanted to bring His Son to be the Savior of mankind. This was a big deal. And up until now, Jesus, every time it's come up, think about what where we've been in the past 11 chapters. Every time this has come up where somebody would say, let's make Him king, or there were statements, I believe in John 6 or John 8, that they were going to try to catch Jesus and force Him to be the king, and Jesus would slither out from their presence. Every time they tried to grab Him and make Him their king, He would get away. Not this time. He's their man. But He's not the man that this crowd thinks He's going to be. So you've got all of these people. You've got all of these people, and you've got all these people from Lazarus. You've got all these people who are coming to Jerusalem. And then there's a third crowd as well. Don't know how many, but a lot. These are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the self-righteous preachers. Losing that term loosely. These are the priests from the nation of Israel who are denying that Jesus is the Son of God. They're denying that Jesus is the Messiah. And He has rubbed them the wrong way for 3.5 years. And they're angry, and they're mad, and they're frustrated. And they look out at all these possibly millions of people, this crowd, who knows how many. You know, they're looking at this crowd and they're saying, look at this, the whole world's going after Him. And we know that's not the case, but that's what they're seeing in their eyes. And you've got here the setting for what's going to take place in 4 more days on Friday when they put our Lord to death. So what's going to happen between now on Monday and Friday when they put Him to death? Well, you got to come back to Sunday school to find out, because I got to dismiss here. But I was hoping today just to get your mind into the neighborhood that this was a huge deal. When we read these stories in the Gospels from now on, I hope we think how big a deal this was. Millions upon millions of people. Emotions were running high. Excitement that Jesus would be made king. And then me, I think that was probably such a big deal. The excitement from that right there drove everything else. Because the more excited they got, the more scared the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, the more scared they were going to get. And you know why that is? They're going to put Him to death. That's for sure. They've made that very clear. They're going to take Jesus out of the picture. But they don't want to do it now. Why don't they want to do it now? Well, they don't want to do it in front of 1 million people, 2 million people. They want to do it when they can not make such a show of it. You know, they want to do it later. And yet Jesus has other plans. He wants to do it now. Another thing that we've seen, past 11 chapters, I bet you 10, 15 times we've heard these words. My time has not yet come. Or to some degree of that statement. Jesus saying, my time isn't here yet. You remember, God has had His Son, Jesus, on a schedule. He has spent the last 3.5 years, or in John's case, the last 11 chapters, setting the groundwork where He would become the Savior of all mankind. And He has postponed, and He has not allowed anybody to force Him to be king. And now on this Monday, this week, of this Passion Week, from Monday to Friday, He's going to let it happen. But a lot takes place between Monday and Friday, so you don't want to miss it. You got to be here, okay? Would you pray with me? Father, as we dismiss from Sunday school, help us to see.